Okay. All right, Phil, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining. Okay, I wanted to start with a little incident or story, which is nogeya to this week's parasha. It happened around, the story starts around, around 20 years ago. I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. At that point, maybe even more than 20 years ago, 30 years ago. My mother, Olav Hashem, was still alive. She was not well. And I used to walk every Shabbos. I used to walk with my children who were then young. You know, we used to walk from Sanhedrin Rechavet to my parents lived in Arzia Bira and to visit them for Shabbos. I would say every Shabbos afternoon, we walk over to visit them. And about 30 years ago, exactly, that was when there was all these big fights over Bar Ilan. Right? Bar Ilan was an open street. It was connecting, Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. There was the Ramat Eshkol, which was not a religious community, and Har Tzofim was not a religious community, and that's so they drove straight through up Bar Ilan, straight up to the bus station, etc., and then down to the Tel Aviv road, and it was a lot of traffic. And of course, the Haredim who lived Bar Ilan had a section that was Haredi from corner Shmua Navi to around Sanya. So they did not appreciate the traffic. And it used to be Mamish Lebedik, World War III. All the Haredim would come out and they'd be protesting in the streets and they'd be throwing garbage in the streets and burning canisters, but maybe on Shabbos they wouldn't burn it, but they would roll the garbage, these big garbage things into the middle of the street, and they'd be fighting with the police and blocking traffic, and the police would come with tear gas and water cannons, and it was, man, you thought you were going through a world war. And I, every Shabbos I'm walking with my little kids, and the horse is there. And you were like almost petrified, but I had to cross Bar Ilan to get to where my parents. Anyway, so this was going on every week. So I met Rav Simcha Wasserman. Simcha Wasserman was Rav Chana Wasserman's son, one's his surviving son. He was a very, very warm person. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he spent most of his life working with Bawi Chuvas and people who had very little background. He spent most of his life in Los Angeles. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was involved with Bawi Chuvas. He told people, the line he said is that he moved to places where people had no children. So people with children can't move there because there's no chinuch, so he moved there. So he was very understanding of the world, of Kira, whatever. So I said to him, I feel like I have a almost like a different religion. We're brought up that you treat, non-religious people with respect. You try and be mekarev them. You're friendly to them. You have midos, derech eretz, this way you try and be mekarev them. And here you come to Bar Ilan, they're jumping on the cars and screaming and calling them Nazis and, whatever it is. It's just like, I said, it feels like a different religion. So Rav Simcha said, no, you're making a mistake. It's not like a different religion. It is a different religion. Oh, so that shook me up. I mean, a different religion, right? So who has the right religion? But then he told me a word from this week's parsha, which is Gevaldik. There's a Taisvis on Saita, on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. It says that when at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, so what happened is that Shevet Binyamin went into the Yamsuf. And the Gemara says, it's a Medrash, it's a Medrash, but it's in the Gemara, that Shevet Yehuda was stoning Shevet Binyamin. So why were they stoning them? So Taisa says that Taisa brings a Mechilta, it says a Mashal, the Ma'adavar Daimah, to a king that told, he had two children. One son, he told him, make sure you wake me up. It's very important, I gotta wake up at the sunrise. And the other child, he says, make sure no one bothers me. I want to sleep. Right? He gave two opposite messages to two children. So the younger son was given the message to wake up the father, comes to wake up the father. The older son, who's given the message, please make sure I can stay asleep, tries to stop him. They get into a giant fight. Okay. Father wakes up and he says, you both did what I wanted you, what I told you to do, basically. So therefore you both get reward. So here also, he says, Shevet Binyamin felt it was the right thing to go into the Yamsuf. Shevet Yehuda felt it was the wrong thing. The Nitziv explains, because Hashem already split, the way he's learning, Hashem already split the Yamsuf even before Shevet Binyamin jumped in. Just it was just starting to split. Was definitely muddy, but it was even maybe full of water, so it was just the beginning. So Yehuda held that you're supposed to wait till the Nes is finished and then go up Hiderech HaTeva. Binyamin said you have to show Bitochen and go right away. So they had a machlekes in Hashkafa. Should you wait until the Nes is finished and then when everything dry you go in? Even the Sif says it was a machlekes, if you go up Hiderech HaTeva or not up Hiderech HaTeva, or you should jump in right away. So Yehuda and Binyamin got into a big fight. And Hashem said, okay, you both get reward. So Rav Simcha made a gavad the gadiyik. He says it doesn't say pashup shot. You learn that Yehuda and Binyamin had a machlekes in hashkafa. Are you supposed to go ahead and go up iderech hateva, or are you supposed to go up iderech hanes? And who was right? Obviously, one was right and one was wrong. But since they were both mechaving l'shem shamayim, so Hashem gave a reward to both of them. He said, but that's not the mashal. The mashal is where he doesn't say that one son was right and one son was wrong, but they both thought they were doing what the father wanted. The mashal is that the father actually told each son a different thing. So he said, what you see in the Chazal is it's shayach, that it's mamish, they're mamish both right. And they're doing two opposites, and they're supposed to fight each other. Simcha gave a marshal. He said, the king went over to someone, and he said, you know, we have a big problem in the country. The mafia is taking over. We got to put these mafia people behind bars. We got to have some law and order in this country. I want you to take this special project. I know it's risking your life because these mafia people are going to try and kill you, but you got to go. It's so important. You got to try and get these convict these mafia people and put them behind bars. And the person works day and night, the Mesiris Nefesh, and that's his goal, to do what the king told him. There's just one person he can't stand, this defense attorney. Sometimes he gets almost a total case to get this guy behind bars. And the defense attorney twists and turns and he gets his client off. He can't stand that defense attorney. Says, finally, someone goes over to the defense attorney and says, why are you doing this? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I had a very nice business. I was fine minding my own business. But the king came to me and says, you know, there's this Michigan prosecutor. All he can think about is putting people behind bars. You know, I'm nervous that someone who's innocent is going to be put behind bars. I want you to make sure that now anyone who has the slightest possibility of innocence doesn't get put in jail. So in other words, what he was saying is that in order for the MS to work, you need the defense attorney, you need the prosecutor. And even though they're doing two opposites, the king wants both. And it's only when you have both that the world will work out okay. So Simcha said, it's shayach, you can't say. Obviously, sometimes it's one person's right, one's wrong. He said, but we're mechuyev. He said, you have to be done akatz chus. You have your Messiah. You have to fight for your Messiah. You have to go ahead and you were appointed to be the defense attorney. You have to go, that's what the king told you to do. You got to do it, you know, to the end of the world. But at the same time, you don't have to look down on the other person. Maybe he was given a job to be the prosecutor, and that's his job. And both are right. Okay, it's like in the army. my job is to be in the Air Force and your job is to be in the Navy and the other guy's job is to be in the, you know, the cavalry and these jobs
are to be. What are you getting to? What are your mechanisms? You know?
Okay, anyway, so therefore everyone, it doesn't mean that we're one's right and one's wrong. Why do I say this? Besides that, it's a gevaldik hashkafa. I think it's very happens to be nogea, especially to us, because we have, you know, I get this feeling. I'm not sure if anybody else gets this feeling, but I get it. Chavetz Chaim is a little bit getting to be, I don't know what the right word is. We're becoming less and less in the majority of the world. Let's put it nicely, right? The world, the frum world is definitely the majority of the frum world is in many ways different than some of the things of us. They drag, you know, we don't wear cottage white shirts, a lot of us. They wear only white shirts, have beards and payas. They learn faster. They're more into chumras, right? Many of the things that the yeshiva prides itself on, the Ian as much as going slow. They don't all do that Ian. The Musar, they don't do that Musar necessarily. We don't into not into Chitzonius. Things that we're into that the world's not so much into, and things that the world's into, we're not so much into. And sometimes you got a hardcore Chavetz Chaim guy who says, okay, the whole world is wrong, and only Chavetz Chaim is right. But first of all, that's also a terrible hashkafa. but I suspect that many people deep down feel, listen, we can't be both right. And obviously there are many, many gedolim who are really gedolei ador who did not hold up. You have a different hashkafa. So I guess, you know, maybe we're wrong because only one can be right, one can be wrong. And what that does is it causes people to be insecure. Unsure in themselves. They're not really, you know, because you're not sure, because maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe I went, my bad math, I went to the wrong yeshiva. And what Rav Simcha Wasserman was telling us is that, you know, it's not one's right and one's wrong. They're both right. Both of them have a Messiah. You can respect everybody else, and Hashivas and Kavan HaTaira, and their Gedele Ador. But at the same time, you don't have to feel insecure about yourself. You can feel that Baruch Hashem, and you also have a vow in Messiah. And if Adarabba, you can even feel better about yourself because maybe your Messiah, the fact that it's less people in your Messiah, makes every person that's in that Messiah more important. It's a more of an elitist group. And I don't know if elitist, but the smaller arm, you know, it's every person in that group is much more important because it's a small number of people in this unit.
Would Rebbe say that someone that one of these hashkafas without Masur, so that would be potentially wrong?
I do not knock anyone. No, I'm saying I'm trying to say that the attitude that we should have, or what Simcha was saying, is we should not look down at anyone. We should say everyone is right. But that feeling of not looking down other one, and Fakir, of course, Rav Shach was obviously right, and Rav Yaakov was obviously right, and Rav Hutner and Rav all these people are Gedolei Ador, and they, of course, are right. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that we have to feel, well, but, you know, Rav Aaron Cutler did not hold, maybe, of going, I don't know if he held it going out of town as much as Rosh Hashiva did, so I guess we're wrong, and maybe we're wrong, you know? So no.
What about okay, Goren?
Let me try and go. Okay, I'll talk. Let me try and say it because I don't want to get So this is, I think, it's very important because first of all, it's important not to look down on other people, but it's more important not to look down on yourself, because when a person doesn't have self confidence, a person can't do anything. Self confidence. There's a difference between gaiva and self confidence. Self-confidence, I'm not saying it's my credit necessarily, but Baruch Hashem, I have certain gifts. I was given certain opportunities and gifts. And when a person has self-confidence, he can act. But this, I'm afraid, hurts our self-confidence. Just to continue with the thought, I want to just make two more points and then I'll let everyone scream at me. I heard a schmooze on this week's parsha from the we're talking about other pitzurachim from Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, right, from Panovich, right? He said as follows at the end of the parsha, it says, I think it was the only thing I ever heard from him. I only heard him once speak, I think. I don't want to give the wrong impression. He was speaking in Yerushalayim. I went to hear him speak. So he said at the end of the parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe that to go ahead, Vayava Amalek, Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua B'char Nanu Anashim, V'sevi Elohim Amalek. So people ask the Kasha, why did Moshe tell Yoshua? Why did he do it himself? Moshe is the ultimate Acham Leib Yichar Mitzvahs, Acham Leib Yichach Mitzvahs. So why doesn't he do it himself? So some people maybe even say there might have been a time on Moshe, but the Or HaChaim says, Nischakei Moshe, Moshe was smart, that he realized that why did Amalek come? Chazal say was in the oven of Bittul Mechemes HaTorah, that they weren't fighting in Torah enough. So therefore, he said that who's Ein Roy Las Mechama Ela Yeshua, because Yeshua was the ultimate hard worker for learning. In other words, Moshe got the Torah as a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He went up to Har Sinai. Hashem gave him the Torah as a gift. So even though Moshe was a much, much bigger Talmid Chacham than Yeshua, but Moshe did not have the might of Yegiya Batayra. Says Yeshua had the might of Yegiya Batayra, therefore Yeshua is more Roy to fight Amalek. So he said, an amazing thing, that we would think, who's more qualified or the biggest tzaddik? Now, we're not saying Yeshua is a bigger tzaddik. Of course, Moshe is a bigger tzaddik than Yeshua. Bigger Talmid Chacham, a bigger tzaddik, a bigger everything. But in this inyan, Yoshua is more qualified than Moshe. And he said that it's shayach, it's not apikarsis to say that when it comes to this nekuda, you know, someone who's not as great can be, this is my area. I have some special kayach. I'm not saying I'm the gadol hador. Yeshua doesn't have to say I'm better than you, Moshe. But in this nekuda of being able to fight Amalek with the schus ha-tayra, and you give the Torah, I'm better than you. Right? And what that means is that what we need to do, when we have a certain confidence, is we sometimes have to find our nekuda. Each person has a nekuda where he has tremendous talent. And to feel our talent and to say, this area, you don't say you're the gadol hador in that area. Okay, maybe to somebody else in that, he'd say that you're the greatest in that area is also maybe not so likely. But you're in the range, you're a chashuv person in this area. Maybe whether it's teaching first grade, maybe it's being a good friend, maybe it's understanding people, maybe it's in my koyach davening, maybe in my doing chesed, in my lay tov. There's some area that I have that I am an achasha madrega. I'm a chasha person in that area. And that also, that gives us a tremendous, when we realize that there are areas that we have godless in, it gives us a tremendous chashivas and self-confidence. Okay, I just wanted to end with one last thing and then I'll stop. I used to go to Rav Zuckerman. Rav Zuckerman was a very big gadol. He learned in Radin. And he apparently knew somehow the Rosh Hashiva. He knew the Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva was never in Radin, but the Rebbetzin, Rosh Hashiva's wife, was from Radin. Rebbetzin grew up in Radin. And Rav Zuckerman was friendly with Rebbetzin's father. I think he was younger, but he was, I don't think Radin was such a big city. And through the, he was very, through the, probably he was an older member of the Radin Yeshiva. So Mimele, it was like a family yeshiva almost, and especially among the older fellows. So he got very close to the Trump family. So through that, he got somehow connected to the Reshiva, and he knew what was going on with Reshiva. So he once said to us, there was something about the Reshiva that very much amazed him. So I was thinking, what do you think, Rav Zuckerman is a tremendous tzaddik, is mispoiled from the Reshiva? Oh, right. What do you think? So he said like this. He said he heard that the yeshiva started many branches. And he also heard, which I don't know if you people are aware, but I know because I was around, that almost all the early branches that the yeshiva started folded. You know, the yeshiva started a branch in Montreal. That was the first branch. It, you know, and it's still there, the yeshiva, but the, you know, the yeshiva, it was, you know, someone else took it over. The yeshiva lost control, whatever. So for, in certain sense, it folded. Certain sense not, but in certain sense, yes. Okay, then it started Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Eretz Yisrael was different because it was a special gimmick, Eretz Yisrael. Then it started Rochester. Okay, Rochester never folded. No, it had a, it was a little, some had, in the early years was a little difficult, but it, Baruch Hashem. Then it started New Haven. New Haven was tremendous, tremendous energy, and that folded. Then it started, I think, Dallas, and that folded. We're in the second Dallas. Now, then it started Phoenix. I'm not sure exactly the order, and that folded. Then there was San Diego and folded. Teaneck that folded. St. Louis, I think, folded. There was a period of time that it was just like every branch was folding. And he said the amazing thing that he found out through Shiva is he just folds, you know, he put in tremendous energy and then it folds. Okay, start another one. He says, well, that, you know, most people, you work and it doesn't go. Okay, I tried, I quit. He says that the Shiva just keeps on going, you know, he doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't have, he's able to keep on going, even though he, you know, fails. He, to him, that was like the amazing thing. How did the Rishiva do that? Not because Rishiva was about Gaiva, but he had self-confidence, even not confidence in himself. Rishiva had tremendous confidence in the Koyach HaTorah. He had tremendous confidence in the Messiah. He had tremendous confidence in the Talmidim. He had the men, right? He used to always say they're waiting for us, right? That wasn't those who remember Shiva. That was his, he, you know, he said it and he meant it, even though, you know, it was a big joke among the guys. Yeah, sure, they're waiting for us, but he meant it. He said the Jewish neshama is thirsting for Torah. So the Shiva had this confidence that it has to work. It has to work. So Baka Torah is right, and this Torah is right, and this is where the God that saw them is right, and people are gedolim, and of course we'll succeed. Maybe if this one didn't go, so it was a fluke, okay, a fluke. So you got on the next one. And that, I think, that's what I wanted to leave, that message, that most people, we're talking here to alumni, so many, many, I'm not saying most, but probably most, but if not most, many, many people, once they leave yeshiva and they enter the real world, they get knocked around a little bit. That's the minhaga item. Some people get knocked around by their kids. You know, they dream that they're going to have such wonderful tzaddikim, all their kids are going to be the world's greatest parents. And then they discover they get some rough kids and, you know, they just, you know, as kind of patient as they are, the kids don't listen and they're screaming and fighting, whatever. Some people gotten to get knocked around from their wives. Some people by their in-laws. Some people by their bosses. Some people by their customers, their talmidim. Some people by the job. They, you know, they have a rough job. You know, if a person's a rabbi, then his talmidim are difficult. If he's a business, the customers are difficult. The community is difficult. The climate's difficult. COVID is difficult. There's endless things that knock people, that people get knocked down, constantly getting knocked down. And many, many people lose our confidence. That's what happens. We get knocked down, we get banged up, we get pushed around, you know, all the day long by, not necessarily, hopefully not by all these things, but by some of them, almost everyone has something. And then you begin to lose, you know, you used to have all this excitement and confidence and guys, I can do it. I can take over, conquer the world. You know, that Rav David, Rishiv used to quote Rav David, we're going to take over all America. But then, you know, when it comes to reality, you know, Rav David got kicked out of Torah V'Das. You know, his conquering America didn't work too well. So the when a person gets in reality of life, when we get knocked around, so what the danger is that we begin to lose our self-confidence. And when you lose your self-confidence, then you lose your ability to function. So what I'm trying to emphasize is we gotta strengthen our self-confidence. We have to strengthen our belief in the Kayach HaTorah. We have to strengthen our belief in, you know, the Baruch Hashem, the Messiah. We are zeichet to a special Messiah. So we have Rebbeim, we're Gedolim. We have a special, there's a, you know, it goes back to the, whether it's Shidduch HaBetz Chaim or the Alter Salbaka, there's a special Messiah. This is, in general, there's a special Kayach HaTorah. There's a Kayach HaMusar, which is regretfully, you know, everyone in the world talks about Musar, but there's a special, unique system of Musar, which many people don't have, that Baruch Hashem we were zeichet to have. So we have to feel a certain confidence that we have certain gifts, and we have certain, and our own, everyone's creating the Tzalm Elokim. That's also, we have a tremendous neshama. We have, everybody has tremendous skills in some area that we're amazing. We have our area that we have godliness in, and we have to focus in that and feel the confidence. And then when we feel the confidence, then I think we can go out and accomplish a great deal. Okay, I'm finished. Exactly a half hour. That's very impressive. I'm impressed at confidence. That's a good shul, Rabbi. I had to finish on time. All right, okay. Did someone wanted to say something, or otherwise?
I just wanted to thank you. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Okay. I was being screamed at before. I thought someone wanted to
say. What about Goran?
What?
What about Shlomo Goren?
What does it have to do with Shlomo Goren? We don't talk Lashon Hara about people.
No, everyone's saying that they're legitimate other religions.
Adoni, Rabbi Goren, my father was very friendly with Rabbi Goren. Rabbi
Goren was, Shiva, like,
he was in my house. He was my sister had Sheva Brachas. Rabbi Goren used to stay in Forest Hills. I don't know if you know that, but he used to stay in Forest Hills. There was a Ruby Grumbau, was a Baobos of my father, was a very big, close to Rabbi Goren. Rabbi Goren used to always stay in his house. So Rabbi Goren used to always dive in Israel, Forest Hills. And there was my sister got married, and the Rashiva of Karen B'Yavne was there. Was it Rosh Yeshiva Karen B'Yavne? What's his name? Rav Goldach. So he would happen to be there. So he was there for the Shabbos, for the Shabbat Brachas, because he was close to my father. So we had for Shabbat, Shabbat Brachas of my sister, we had both Rav Goren and Rav Goldach. And they both spoke of the Shabbat Brachas. And I'm telling you that Shabbat Brachas never ended because they were both quite long speakers. And it was, you know, anyway. So we don't, anyway, but the rule in life is we don't, there's no mitzvah to knock anyone. We don't know. And there's no mitzvah. We're not knocking, we're only building up ourselves. We have to say, we should have confidence in ourselves. You don't have to get confidence in yourself by making fun of other people. I don't think that's a healthy way of going. Okay.
But Rabbi's saying that knocking is a indicator for feeling low self-confidence?
Not necessarily. Maybe there's really a reason, but it is not. I said it's one way. Sometimes it's what people do. That the Rabbeinu Yaina does say that the reason why people are bowing gaiva because they have low self-confidence. But I'm just saying, but in the Maisa, we don't have to knock other people. It's not necessary, and you can risk Lashon Hara. And you never know. And maybe he was a very chasha person. I don't know. I'm allowed to say I don't know him. I never read his svarim. I know anything about him. I just know
wasn't the shiva very public.
I know that he was a long speaker. That's all I can tell you. He spoke a long time. Okay. It's much safer that way. Yes.
Rabbi, Rabbi say that all the different groups, you have Mizrahi and Hasidim and everyone, and even if we could find, places to say there is no Mesorah or whatever, but situationally, this is how Hashem allowed the world to develop. and it's gone shayach that everyone has what to rely on a little bit? Or would you say, no, it's just more of our personal outlook?
How we're supposed to be relevant. In other words, it's anything's possible. In other words, there's no mitzvah to knock people. So first of all, Mizrahi, it depends what Mizrahi knows. I think we would say you have to have someone to rely on, but Mizrahi, Rav Yosher Beer was a very chashuv person. So if a person is following Rav Yosher Beer, fine. If a person makes up his own thing, yeah, then I don't know if I would even say that. If you find a person and he's making up his own hashkafas and he's not basing it on anyone, then I don't know. That sounds a little funny. So conservative reform, you know, they're not based on anyone. I don't know of any gedolah that was conservative reform. But a chashuv YU person who's a Talmud of Yosher Beer or following a Talmud of a Talmud, fine. Why should we knock them? There's no mitzvah to knock them. And it is possible. Yes, it is possible. And it's just as much possible that the Badats, who I'll tell you that, you know, Badats is sometimes harder to understand. And you know, and I don't know what was going on in Bnei Brak last week, you know. Can't understand that either, right? But okay, there's no mitzvah to knock people. You have to be, it's much, much healthier to say it's not relevant. I'm a chuyev, I'm a chuyev to fight what I would. I was given a job, I have to fight for myself, not that I say everyone's right, so I'm going to fight, I'm going to listen to what they say. I'm a chuyev. I was getting, it's like the defense attorney and the prosecutor. So I have to fight for this. I have to even fight you also, but that doesn't mean that I hold that there's something wrong with you. You know, like, so if someone wants to, I'm gonna fight because this is my job. And this is what Hashem wants me to do, but you could be a tzaddik too, you know? You know, not knocking your sitkas, that's not a between me. You're a Talmud of the Sabra Rebbe and you don't hold to the Medina, you don't vote, and listen, the Sabra Rebbe was supposed to, everyone says he was a very chashuv person. So I'm not gonna, do I understand his hashkafas? No, I don't understand them. I don't understand, it makes no sense to me. But okay, but obviously, so what? I'm not a god though, and he was. And he obviously, it was a good hashkafa. And if it's only them are following it, so they're maybe right, and they could be tremendous tzaddikim. It's a much healthier approach in life. But I was trying to focus on really ourselves. That I think that the people deep down, they feel insecure. They feel, you know, you walk down the street. And I don't know, maybe if you're living in Memphis, it's not such a problem. But if you're living in even in North Miami Beach now, it's a problem. You know, you feel you're outnumbered. You know, that's the way it is. So I don't know, Shorty, if you're in the, you know.
Well, Rebbe, it's going to get better after the winter.
Oh, okay. So you're across the street from the Godel there, the Gavaldic. So we're matching of the Godel, but it doesn't, we don't have to feel inferior. You know, we match of them without feeling inferior. That was what I was trying to say. Okay.
Is it worth it to go over this hashkafa only when a person feels inferior or even like just at baseline?
Before you feel inferior, don't feel inferior. That's important. You have to feel strength and self, be energized, motivated. You got to see the gifts that you have. And Rashiva was a big believer that everybody can do something. Everybody can find it in the world. Even it doesn't mean that say you're in chinuch, you know. He says, that's what I said, you can make your niche in davening. You can make your niche in being friendly to people. You can make your niche in the way you're raising your family. But, you know, everybody has his area where he can change the world in a positive way.
What if someone else's hashkafa goes like, or at least an aspect of it goes against ours and makes it, it's a contradictory.
So that's like the defense attorney, the prosecutor, that we're obligated to fight each other. But even though we fight each other, we have respect for each other.
Mm-hmm. We don't say that they're wrong, we're saying. That was the whole thing.
I can respect you and still fight you at the same time.
Agree to disagree, so to speak.
Better we should try not to fight, because fighting is not, you know, what do we need to fight for? But if sometimes if they start up, you have to fight back. What can you do? But we should still respect. It's very good to respect people. Okay. Anyway, let me. I wasn't really my point. My point was we have to respect ourselves. I wasn't really, you know, I'm being taken out of my context of what I was trying to say.
What happens sometimes? Person should say, look what we have. We're so fortunate. We have this Derech HaMusar and Derech HaIyun, and we're so fortunate. But I think it could be for a number of guys, you feel that, but I don't feel like I was mekabel that to the extent that I would have been matched. Okay. And therefore, when I look at yeshiva guys from other places, I feel like, look, they're holding in ketsosis or whatnot, and I never really made it.
Okay, so you have to feel that you made it partially. You made it. You can learn on a certain level. You have you're kind of the derech of a musser. You can say you can appreciate a musser shmooze. You can appreciate you can appreciate in learning you're not only doing that, there's an appreciation that's it's not all or nothing. You don't have to be the God of Adar to say, you don't have to be a Rabbi Davin Harris to say, oh, owner of Davin Harris made it. You make it on a certain level and you have something. You have certain midas, certain hashkafas, and certain feinkeit and edelkeit and consideration to people and understanding. And that's kufa what I'm saying. We have to appreciate what we have. And we have to feel strength and to go out with that. To go ahead and become a youth group leader or to volunteer to lead a minyan or just to be in the car of your next door neighbor or to be good, nice to your wife and kids. You know, that's also something to be nice to your wife and kids.
Right. Not to feel that you have that,
that's also good. It's not so many people can be nice to their wives and kids. It's not so easy.
It sounds like that it's not just areas that we've heard in yeshiva. In other words, it could be other areas. Like sometimes in yeshiva, they don't talk about being awesome at tefillah or awesome at the areas Rabbi spoke about. You could find any niche in any area of Yiddishkeit and say, look, but I'm holding my own self and I'm actually myself for this reason.
Right.
And you can look at other people and say, okay, that's them and this is me. Nothing to do with my yeshiva, right. Nothing to do with Chavetz Chaim.
Right. And it could be also a very big Baal Chesed in the neighborhood. And I learned with this, Robert Maskowitz. He's helped very helpful with the yeshiva, and sometimes with the tuition, and he's helpful with sometimes with fundraising. There are people that help the yeshiva with their dinner. There's a guy who's a plumber who will help do plumbing work in the yeshiva. There are lots of things a person can do and that people can do, give his services to other people without charge and give advice and, or just be a good friend to people. People need a shoulder to listen to. Yes, many areas. Life is full of areas. Okay, I think I got to stop. All right, Yeshikayach, everyone.